All right, everybody, welcome to Gaming Gaiden. This is Andrew, as always, and we got here Mike.
Hey.
And honestly, dude, I can't believe we haven't done this yet. I thought we had, but we're doing our top three Super Nintendo, SNES, Super Famicom picks. Those are all the same thing. And, you know, this was a titan of a system, as we all know.
This is still a titan of a system.
It really is. A lot of gaming kind of like, that wasn't the first system, but I feel like a lot of gaming for like ground zero for a lot of stuff happened on this system. Yeah. And it was a powerhouse, the likes of which we've never seen. The PS1 and 2 were similar-ish, I guess you could say, especially for the 3D stuff. But looking back, Super Nintendo kind of won the 16-bit era, and it was, I don't know, it really is. You know, we had a hard time making this list. Yeah. You know, if disclaimers, you know, if you were to ask us our top three tomorrow, it might be a little different. This is crazy, the hardest list to make, even
I try to think about it in terms of what criteria should I consider here. Even by that metric of like trying to be objective about it, I'm like, no, it's gonna end up producing different results on each day, because there's just so many good games on this system.
Well, I would say really the vibe, like the vibes, man. But no, but like what you have the most nostalgia for, what you, the how much you played, like the hours put in, things like that. You know, I think, you know, the hype you felt for it, the hype you still feel for it, you know, subjectively.
And it's hard to do too, because, and this is a funny thing about the Super Nintendo, like this year, the system that I've probably played the most on is Super Nintendo.
Oh, this year? Oh yeah. Yeah. You were doing Mario RPG or something, weren't you?
Yeah. This year I played Super Mario RPG, Final Fantasy VI. I started Earthbound. I'm still playing a bunch of games right behind me on that TV. The Super Nintendo has Secret of Mana plugged in.
You're playing on original hardware. That's awesome.
Yeah, dude. I was playing Arkanoid upstairs a couple days ago. Like I'm always on the Super Nintendo. It's just somehow always happening.
I mean, there's a good reason for that.
Yeah, there's just an insane, massive library, and there's a lot of games that I missed back in the day. So I'm happy to be giving them a shot now.
Huge library. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's a lot. I love looking at those videos like Metal Jesus and all them, like talking about hidden gems and the hidden, there's like 18 hidden gems lists, you know, that you could make and all that, and all those videos and stuff. But so anyway, yeah, we're doing our top three. We're going to count down from three to two and then do honorable mentions and, like, you know, side comments or whatever you want. And then our top one game, which is really hard to do, but and we'll do off on. So I will start this
one. Well, before we do that, we should talk a little bit about our history with the systems.
Sorry, I forgot about that part. Yes, you're right. Well, Mike, you start off that one.
Okay. Yeah. So you know, we've talked about the NES before, and you will know that I'm not a fan of the NES, just from a technical standpoint.
That is so crazy to me, dude.
It was such a disappointing piece of hardware, and it was never reliable for anyone. And it's so funny.
There was a lot of great games on it.
There were a lot of great games on it. And a lot of times I would play them and be like, gee, I wish this had been released on Sega Master System, because I think it would have been better. But, you know, at least that game system worked every time I plugged the cartridge in.
I like that you like the Master System. But I didn't know a single soul with that system, dude.
Yeah, it was nowhere near as popular. But when it came to, you know, and the Genesis came along, I was really excited to be there for sure, no doubt. But the Super Nintendo, I had read about it, and I don't know what magazine it was, but I knew that the Super Nintendo was getting an exclusive that I absolutely had to have in my home.
Final Fight. We'll get there. Oh, Final Fight. Okay.
No, no. Final Fight.
Is that one of your picks?
That's a spoiler. It's not on the list. Okay. But that's the game that made me get a Super Nintendo. And so I played it in the arcade and I loved it. And I saw that they were going to put that out on Super NES and it wasn't going to Sega Genesis, which was pretty disappointing. Later, that would end up being the reason that Streets of Rage came into existence. And that worked out really well because Streets of Rage 2 is phenomenal. But yeah, it was Final Fight. So it was that, like, I think Final Fight came out in a little after the launch, in that August, September 91 timeframe. And I got it for Christmas that year. And it was all about Final Fight for me. And even though it was only one player, I was like, I can't believe I have Final Fight in my house. And I wasn't too worried about the fact that I couldn't play as Guy. But yeah, that was the big thing. That's what got me started. It was like, if Final Fight had come to the Genesis, I have no idea when I would have considered a Super Nintendo. Because really, it was just like, what would be the point? Final Fight was the killer app. They were like, here, you gotta have fun. You gotta play this on Super Nintendo. So I was like, well, that's what I'm asking for birthday and Christmas this year. Because my birthday's in November. So I would be like, dude, put it all together.
I love that you said killer app. I said that to, again, friends that are my age and that are gamers and never heard that term before. It was like, did you even EGM, bro? Like, but yeah, so... did you have any more before I go into my little spiel or?
No, I mean, that's how I started it. Eventually I was very foolish and we've talked about this on other shows, right? I sold my Genesis and my Super Nintendo to get a PlayStation and have always regretted it. Always, ever since.
But you have one now.
I missed out on a lot of great games and I'm making up for it. You know, I'm playing them now.
Well, there was so many, dude. And yeah. I mean, what is it like? We're talking like over 1,000 titles, probably.
I think that the American releases there were like 750 or some odd.
750. And
I think in Japan it was closer to 950. But yeah, there's a lot.
There's quite a lot. It was like, yeah, kind of like one of the top peaks of gaming for sure. I feel like, I don't know, we haven't really. Well, the Switch has felt sort of like that actually for me. But anyway. Mm-hmm. Not like 8 years old anymore too, so it's like the hype's there but not the same, I think. But anyway, so mine is very standard typical story. We had the NES, loved Mario mainly, and of course other games too, but all about Mario and platforming for me, like a lot of it.
It's a hell of a system for platformers.
We had NES. Let's get Super NES. I don't know if we got it for, probably for Christmas, I guess. Mm-hmm. Super Mario World. Now, spoilers, it's not on my list. It probably should be, and it probably would be if you asked me another day. But Super Mario World, I think, is the best Mario game. And Shigeru Miyamoto has said that that's his favorite, too. So I think there's something to that. It's the Super Nintendo started with that. Like, it was started with Super Mario Land or World or whatever.
And it was packed in with the system. So for anybody who's a little on the younger side, they used to give you a game with your system.
Yeah, I know. That's how it started. And God, man, I don't want to spoil too much, but like, there was a lot of hours on the fucking Super Nintendo, man. Yeah. I mean,
we could get right into it then.
let's get into it because it's hard not to spoil at this point. So I'm going to start off this one.
Okay.
And Mike, this is a series that you said you didn't like too much, but dude, Killer Instinct, man, it was huge for me, dude. I was very well aware that it was a Mortal Kombat clone. I got it. But it was made by Rare. It was just very competent people making a Mortal Kombat clone at the end of the day. That's why it's still around. There was that 2016 one. Hopefully there's a new one that comes out. You know, it had the black cartridge and I loved all the characters and it wasn't arcade perfect by any means, but it was it was good enough. And it had those like cool Rare graphics that only Rare was doing at the time, seemingly.
Yeah, yeah. It's that 3D 3D models to make 2D sprites.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it played like that. Had the good music, and like I always loved Killer Instinct's music, mm-hmm. and just so many hours, mainly as Jago and Orchid. But, mm-hmm. You know, again, playing. I was just a huge fighting game fan, and I liked almost all of them. Like, there was definitely some I didn't like for sure, but I don't know if it was like if it was like a 2D or 3D fighter. I was like. I was on board a lot. Like mm-hmm. there's only a few I didn't like Bloody Roar or something, but that was PS1.
Yeah.
But yeah, Killer Instinct, man. It was just so good, dude. I just loved it. We played it in the arcade and we were like, oh, this is like a new Mortal Kombat, which it was. It had fatalities and everything, but and the announcer and all that killer combo and all that, dude. It was just, I loved it. I loved that game. So many hours.
Yeah, even though I never really took to the actual mechanics of it, the sound design was definitely phenomenal. Like, I barely played that game, and I can just stop for a second and hear it right now in my head. Like, there's just everything. The sound effects, the announcer, the music, like, all of it was just so strong. It's a masterclass in sound design, no question.
It had that kind of, like... So Street Fighter is like you're in Asia and it's like ancient Asia, at least it used to be before it took on like a hip hop thing. And then Mortal Kombat, like they did have the like that, you know, Mortal Kombat, like that song. Mm-hmm. But in the game, it didn't have like, I don't know how you'd say
it. I don't remember
like
the music for Mortal Kombat.
The
I remember the sound
good.
Effects very well and the voices, music, but I don't remember the music well.
Yeah,
the movie music.
Not quite as memorable, but yeah, that song was from the movie, I think, also. Mm-hmm. So, like, the game, it had decent music, but it was just kind of like dark Asian. Mm-hmm. And I say that because that's what Mortal Kombat was doing. It's like mixing all kinds of Asian shit. It was just dark Asian-type music for the most part.
Yeah.
Now, Killer Instinct... It felt like the game was spawned from the music in a sense, because everything about it was techno industrial dark 90s vibe. And that music with killer, like, to me, it's no wonder it came with the CD in, mm-hmm. You know, in the Super Nintendo thing, because it really felt like Rare turned that music into a game. And it was just very, melded with the music so well, and that was a big part of it. And as I said in another episode, like, they would play it at Qzar, this laser tag thing, the killer cut CD that came with the Super Nintendo game. So it was another reason, you know, it was just like, wow, is everybody playing this killer cut soundtrack? That's so awesome. I love this. And I play it to this day. My wife, I play the game too, but the Killer Cut soundtrack is on Apple Music, and I play that in the car, and my wife was like, what is this? But I love it. And like, I love long combos. I really do. And, you know, Cinder and Glacius and Jago and Orchid and Saberwolf. Some people have said like they're too stereotypical, but dude, I don't give a fuck.
I don't think there's such a thing.
I know, right? Like, it's a fire guy and an ice guy. Okay, cool. What? Who gives a fuck, dude? They're cool.
Yeah.
Especially to me as like
being
a 10-year-old.
Being a fire guy is cool.
I loved it, man. It was, it's number three. At least for today, it's number three.
Oh, that's cool. Like I said, definitely the sound design is just incredible. And even the new one, like I can hear it. I can hear that game without really thinking about it.
The new one's another story. I think it was a good attempt, but that's for another video. Let's move on.
All right. So my number three was actually a big surprise to me. I wasn't that big a fan of this series prior to this installment. It's Super Mario World.
You weren't a fan of Mario before this?
I played them. But I wasn't that big a fan. I think that the thing is, like, Super Mario Brothers 1 was just like, we played it because it was there. It came with the system. And it was like, okay, you know. I didn't even beat Super Mario 1 until many, many years later.
This is so crazy to me. Keep going.
I just didn't really care.
Mario 3, though? Really, bro?
Super Mario 2 came along, and I was really excited to see, like, oh, what are they going to do with this? This is cool. I like the look of the graphics in the screenshots, you know? And then I played it, and I was like, this is so weird. Like, this doesn't feel like the same game at all. And then eventually we would learn
why.
You know, even though it was, you know, helmed by Miyamoto, it was a different game, Doki Doki Panic. And it was still cool, like, in its own right, but it didn't really feel like it was carrying the torch of Mario for me, which shouldn't have been that important. I just felt like I had two kind of games that weren't that good. And then I played the third one and I was like, this is very cool. I like the graphics. But I could never beat it. Like, I just couldn't. And I didn't want to go start from the beginning every time because I had it on the NES. That was before there was anything to save it. And then they gave us Super Mario World with the Super Nintendo and the graphics. The first moment I booted that up, I was like, this is gorgeous. Oh, my God. I can't believe how good this looks. And they let me save my game. So I just started really getting into it and exploring. And this game, like, it's funny because at that time, I wasn't listening to my game music much. I used to listen to albums. So, like, Super Mario World, when I think about my first playthrough of Super Mario World, it was mainly, I was going back and forth between Run DMC and Nice and Smooth at the time. I don't know if you've ever listened to Nice and Smooth. They took a Partridge Family sample and did it over, like, Nice and Smooth is funky, oh so hip hop junkies. There's a few people out there who might know. But yeah, that's like cool. I would listen to that and play through, and like I would just go through looking for those exits and trying to get it all. And this is one of the few games that I like actually 100% completed. Like, I never do that. I don't really care about doing that. But yeah, for Super Mario World, I did. And part of it was because I was just like, I was really into my music. And I would be like, yeah, I'm going to put on Run DMC, listen to that album, play some Mario World for a good 50 minutes or whatever. And so I played through Super Mario World so many times. And when I was in high school, I went back and played through it again. Because even in high school, it was like, oh, I'm going to go back and play these old retro games because I still like them. And at that time, instead, I was listening to Portishead's Sour Times while I played it. Still doing the same thing of like, let me listen to music while I play this. So, yeah, Portishead was my soundtrack then.
I remember, this is a slight tangent, but like speaking of like what you're listening to whenever you got games, I remember I was listening to like a Tupac album when I was playing Dark Savior on on Saturn, and we were into Rob Zombie whenever we were playing Power Stone on Dreamcast. Nice. And this dude, remember when Mariah Carey did that song with Boyz II Men?
Oh man, vaguely.
They had what, that was like a hit. Yeah. It was like a hit at my school. I was like, dude, I was like in fourth grade, and I was listening to that while playing Virtual Fighter 1 or 2.
That does not seem like a good mix.
No, it wasn't, but it was like, I was just getting into music, and I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, whatever.
But yeah, Super Mario World really benefited me from me not listening to the soundtrack, because I was like, I was just like, yeah, I'll play Mario and listen to this album. And yeah. I went through, and then I was actually kind of disappointed when I got the 96 and the whole world looked different. And I was like, I actually like the way it looks before this change, you know, because it's like a brown autumn look to it. And I prefer the standard.
They had that. There was those like star stages too. They were like bodacious and shit. They were like called bodacious or something.
Groovy, like spectacular. Levels. Yeah.
So I discovered that before the internet, right? Before the internet, obviously. And I remember like playing that and like getting to that like by accident or something. And it was like, wow, I'm in like a secret world.
Yeah.
You know, it was people have talked about this before on other podcasts and YouTube videos, but like gaming at that time when you discovered a secret, it was like a true discovery. It felt like so cool. And like, I feel sorry for kids these days that kind of can't have that. I feel like,
yeah, it's different you know, at least. There's certain extremes there of like ignorance is bliss, but like, yeah, sometimes not knowing is really more fun.
It was in this case for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to move on to my number two then, right? Mm. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So full disclaimer, I didn't play this when I was growing up. My brother had it, and I'm bad at directions. I'm very bad at directions. I've always have been. So games that have like, I was used to platformers, Mario, left to right. Love it. Play it all day. Love it. My pick is Super Metroid. I didn't like it when I was a kid because I was bad at directions. So I got lost so easily. Cut to, God, dude, we're talking like 10, 12, 13 years ago, but, you know, well after the time when I was a kid in 93 or whenever this came out. I put it in, start playing it, and I was hooked, dude. Mm-hmm. I was hooked to this game. I did not stop. I played, pretty much straight through, not one sitting, but... like, and then the music too, again, about game soundtracks.
Yeah.
Good God, man. This is Nintendo's darkest series too. You know, you could make a spectrum, right? Like Kirby, then Mario, then Zelda, and then way at the other end here, we get to Metroid, which is still PG-13. They're not going to make a rated R game, but yeah. It's PG-13. It's pretty dark,
right? It feels very different.
And I love, God, the alien designs and all the I mean, it's a perfect game. People talk about it, right? Like it's a perfect game. It's a 10 out of 10. Everything about it, the pacing, the music, the power-ups. I got very addicted to Metroidvanias, which is weird. I loved Symphony of the Night when it first came out, like immediately, like that. I guess I got older at that point.
Me too.
I hadn't looked back to Metroid at that point, but then I finally got to the point where I was like, okay, let's play Super Metroid, see what it's all about.
Yeah.
And I played, God, the Game Boy Advance ones after that, and I beat like a lot of other Metroid games and then other Castlevania games too, but that's another story.
They're really the two best. Like there's so many different Metroidvanias, and for a while I remember thinking like I might be bored of this genre, and then I came to realize like no, it's really just because Castlevania and Metroid do it best.
Dude, Symphony of the Night and Super Metroid, we're talking genre best here. I feel bad for not playing it as a kid, but at least I finally did. And yeah. I'm a huge Metroid fan now. I actually haven't played any of the Prime ones yet. I will eventually.
I played the Prime ones, but the only one of the Prime ones that I would really recommend is Prime, not 2 or 3.
Okay, got it. I'll remember that.
That's not to say that they're bad, but like they're nowhere near on the level of the original Prime.
Right. Okay, well...
Good. I really do. I love Metroid. I loved Metroid on the NES, but it was a real pain dealing with the password system and having to refill your health and stuff. So a lot of the little quality of life things that came with the battery backup in Super Metroid, it just made it so much better.
Oh, man. Yeah, it'd be a nightmare on NES. I mean, I actually never played it on NES. I just wanted to skip straight to Super Metroid. I did have Metroid 2, I think, on Game Boy, and I never got very far in it, but I've heard that's a classic too. I probably should play more of those. Sorry to any Metroid fanatics out there, but
Metroid 2,
Super Metroid is a classic game, dude.
I really liked Metroid on the NES. I just thought it had super cool vibes, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was a great game that was just really hard to play and continue your progress. It just wasn't. The password system and the health were a real problem. And I played Metroid 2 on my friend's Game Boy that I borrowed from him. But like, the Game Boy was so difficult to work with. It just to be in the right lighting and everything. So Super Metroid, that's where the series really began, I'd say. Like, this is where it worked the first time.
It's so good, dude. I played that latest one on Switch too, which is, it was very good. Mm-hmm. But that first one, I was so hooked. And a lot of, somebody released this, did covers of all the soundtrack on an analog synthesizer.
Oh.
And I bought that, and that I have to link that here in the description maybe, but that was also awesome too. I just love that Metroid music.
Yeah, like, it's
kind of dark sci-fi, like impending doom kind of shit. It's so good.
It is so good. Have you ever heard of a band called Bit Brigade?
No, but they do like video game covers.
They do like metal covers of game soundtracks.
Oh, yeah.
And so I used to go to this event in Baltimore. I think it's in Baltimore. It might, in any case, you know, DC, Baltimore, whatever. Like, there's that whole, not Baltimore, sorry, Maryland, DC. They're just kind of all overlap there. There's an event called MAGFest, the Music and Gaming Festival, and Bit Brigade had played there a few times. They played the Ninja Gaiden soundtrack one time. It was great.
That's
Contra
awesome.
Another time, and they have somebody doing a live playthrough. But like, I bought the album from them of the Metroid soundtrack that they played, and I was just like, this is really good. This is fun.
If we're talking about video game covers from a metal thing, there's a band called Power Glove. One
word. Good name.
They do it the best. I saw them live once, actually.
Nice.
And they don't just do video game shit. They do like X-Men. I'm looking at it now. X-Men cartoon one, Batman cartoon one, like a lot of nostalgia cover kind of shit. They're really good, dude.
Power Glove. Nice. That is a good name. I like that.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. So you're number two then.
All right, so my number two is, again, we're always in weird situations with the Super Nintendo, and it's a system that I currently play. So my sense of time with the Super Nintendo is a little weird. My number two is Chrono Trigger, which seems appropriate for my sense of time to be weird. I actually first played Chrono Trigger not on the Super Nintendo. I played it on the DS. So the DS, there was that chip, not a chip, sorry, a cartridge. It was like a flash cart, basically, called the R4. You remember that?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I got hold of an R4, and I was like trying out different games, and I tried out Chrono Trigger. And the tryout ended up being like, I will play this nonstop until I complete it, because I can't stop. I fell in love with it. Just like, it was like, at that time I was working in Manhattan, so I would take the train down from the Bronx, and like, I couldn't wait to get on the train. I'd be like, I can't wait to sit down and play some DS. Of course, you know, I would get on and be like, all right, where's the seat where I can be where someone's not going to yank this out of my hands and run out the door when we stop? but still, like, I was too willing to take this risk because I loved this game so much. And I really was impressed, like, with everything about it. The sprite work, the characterization is phenomenal. Like, every character just feels so strongly that character in the game. I really, really enjoy and appreciate all of them. The music is fantastic. It's one of the only game soundtracks that I have sort of bought and listened to on the regular in the past few years.
Corridors of Time.
There's like 3 hours worth of music. So I actually, when I put it on shuffle, because I'm like, otherwise I'm only going to hear the same 5 songs every time I go out in the car.
The
or whatever.
Chiptunes? Chiptunes version,
no,
like
no,
the 16-bit version.
No, it's the DS version of the soundtrack. So it's a little bit different from the Super Nintendo, but like, it's all good. they're all good.
I listen to the
orchestral,
listen,
the chiptune, whatever. They're all good. The music just works.
I have what I call my nerd playlist on Apple Music, and I have the Corridors of Time orchestral cover on there, mm-hmm. and it's so good, man.
Yeah, man. And this is a game that came out in like 95, right? And by that time, I didn't have the Super Nintendo anymore. I had sold it to get a PlayStation, and nobody I knew had this game. Like, I really wish that I had been able to play it back then, because then I would have just had more years of loving it, really. It's the thing.
I rented it, and God, we might have bought it, man. I can't remember, but RPGs were just not my thing. And I remember liking it okay, but again, I was just one of those things where, like, there's no internet, and if I got lost for like 15 minutes, I was done. Like, again, like platformers, you just go left. I was a basic dude. I just like, I didn't want to get lost in a game. I wanted to play a platformer or a fighter or something. But I see why it's a classic, but I've always had a little bit of difficulty with it because actually I beat it. I actually did. I think I beat it. I got close to beating it on the DS.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it engaged me enough, but yeah. I mean, what is it that makes it like the best for you or like near the best?
It's the battle system is really fun. So like even I like that there's no random battles. So it's like, it's a funny thing because it's kind of like you want to take all the battles that come in front of you because you want to be leveling in a good way. But the battle system feels breezy. And the fact that I can choose when to fight, even if I almost always take that choice, just feels better than having a sudden wipe of the screen and going into a battle screen. The other thing is too, I like that there is no wipe, right? It's the actual in-game world. Like, nothing really shifts. You don't have like a break in a different battle kind of screen. I like that. I love the music. I love the characterization. The most important thing though, really, is the pacing. Like, the game moves along. Like, you
right,
do,
right.
You do so much more in 10 hours of Chrono Trigger than you do in 10 hours of Final Fantasy, right? Mm. It's, if I think about my time with, say, Final Fantasy VII, I was kind of miserable with the first bit of that in Midgar because I was like, where's the fantasy? Where's the world? Like, I'm stuck in these slums. I'd like to get out of here. And it's been like 10 hours.
Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah. But in Chrono Trigger, 10 hours, like, I had like visited three different time periods and they were all beautiful and pastoral and the music was all over the place in terms of different emotions and just, it was wonderful. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel happy. There are vibes there, but that's not really the dominant thing. It's just
the vibes, man.
It's a well-crafted, just a well-crafted story and experience. I love everything about it, really.
I just
even the menu sounds.
I mean, you're 100% not alone. I mean, it's a huge thing, but it never appealed to me too much. I don't know. I mean, I guess I played a lot of it, but I don't know. I don't think I'd ever play it again, man. I think I'm too old for it. Like, I'll play games for kids for sure, but an RPG, the storyline, I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, and what's weird though is my favorite RPG is probably Phantasy Star 4 on the Genesis, but I can't tell you what happened in that story at all. I think it was just the vibes. Like, I could not stop playing Phantasy Star 4. I loved that game. But Chrono Trigger, I don't know. I think I'm just ultimately more of a sci-fi guy too. I don't know what it is.
I think that it's interesting too, because I don't like time travel as a story element. Generally, I don't like, one of the main things that I don't like about time travel as a story element is when they have sort of interdependent timelines, right? Like, there's two versions of a character and they sort of interact and it's like, oh, that's the way it had to happen for it to progress. But then that makes me feel like all of time exists all at the same time, which I don't really like. I prefer a linear progression. But right. Chrono Trigger does its time travel in a really fun way, in similar to Back to the Future, where it's like, yeah, I'll forgive it because you're doing it in a way that I enjoy. You're having fun with it. So a funny thing about Chrono Trigger 2 is I was saying that I played it on the R4 and I thought I was so impressed with it that I was like, I can't not buy this game. So
right.
even though I had played through it on the R4, that's where my save file was and everything, I went online and I was like, I'm buying a cartridge of this and I'm keeping it on the shelf because it's very pretty and nice and I really respect it.
They should have my money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, yeah. I can't not give them my money for this. This is too good.
I think I remember it was $70 too, which was it was $70 cart. People complain about $70 price tag now. Yeah. $70 in 1995 was quite a lot.
Oh yeah. So I eventually I got hold of it. I've got the US cartridge, I've got the Japanese cartridge, and I played through it on emulator because I wanted to play the Japanese version. But I don't save systems. You know, if you're in a dungeon, it's a real pain because I don't want to lose that half hour. So I generally play RPGs on an emulator because I can just save state and be like, look, I'm tired. I have to go to bed.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You kind of have to at this point. Quality of life improvement.
So even though I think, you know, it's going to look nicer on the CRT, it's just like I need that convenience. I can't. I get too tired at night. I got to take a break.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's Chrono Trigger. Cool, really, really enjoy it. Really love the music and everything. And yeah, the characters are great.
Awesome, man. I think I liked Frog the most.
He's great.
Okay. So we're going to do a little runner-up thing. And goddamn, dude, there's a lot. There could be a lot of runner-ups, guys.
Yeah, my runner-up list is about 400 games.
Yeah, so obviously the Super Nintendo was like kind of the hardest to make up any kind of list for. We're gonna disclaim it throughout this whole episode, but so mine are probably shouldn't even be a super runner up, but Super Mario World, Mega Man X. My God, I've talked to some people that like knew Mega Man and thought Mega Man 3 or 4 or some shit was the best, and never played the X series, and I'm like, X is the X series is easily the best.
X is great.
The next one is Mega Man Soccer. I'm not a sports guy at all, but this was Mega.
I've never tried that.
What's that?
I've never tried that one. I didn't even think of it.
It's so fun, and it's got like a lot of like power kicks. That's the main thing. And actually, the Mario Strikers, that soccer game, that kind of brought me back to Mega Man Soccer vibes a little bit, because they have like the power kicks, and it's not you know, realistic at all, and we were just having fun. So, but yeah, I remember playing with my brothers Mega Man Soccer a lot. We were very into that, so that's on the list. Power Rangers the movie, the game, was actually very good. The Power Rangers had a pretty good Super Nintendo run. A lot of their games were good, and you know, a lot of licensed shit, as we know at the time, was generally terrible. But the Power Rangers stuff was very good, so that's on there. Arrow the Acrobat was another really good platformer, I thought. Super Turrican also. Mega Turrican might be a little bit better because of Genesis. But and the last one I list, and again, there could be hundreds of these guys, but my shirt, actually, Rocko's Modern Life. It was kind of a weird game, but the... like the gameplay was like you had to lead Spunky the dog to where he needed to go, and you had like to deal with these like obstacles and shit, and like fix the obstacles and everything. It was a puzzle platformer essentially, and just had really great art. It looked like the fucking cartoon, and it was my favorite Nicktoon. I loved that show, and very good hidden gem. So take it away, or runner up. Take it away, Mike.
All right. Well, I had only picked one game for sort of the honorable mention.
Sorry about that.
But it's really there are three of them. It's kind of me being like, it's not fair to put things in competition with Street Fighter. So Street Fighter 2, it's Street Fighter 2, man. Like, there's what's there to explain? It came out on the Super Nintendo before it came out on the Genesis. So like I just kind of stopped playing Genesis because Super Nintendo had Street Fighter 2. I don't know how many hours I put into this game, but seeing how many I've put into Street Fighter 6 makes me think it was probably 1,000 or 2,000 hours.
Yeah.
And I played Street Fighter 2, the original one where you had to put in the code to get the alternate colors so you could have mirror matches or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Street Fighter 2 Turbo was fantastic. I loved it. In a lot of ways, I think Street Fighter 2 Turbo is kind of like the pinnacle of Street Fighter 2 because it's before the introduction of super techniques and everything like that. It's really the most refined version of Street Fighter 2 Classic. And the Super Nintendo versions were fantastic. It's just amazing conversions. And it's funny too, because you look at them now and it's like, yeah, you know, I can see that this is not as arcade perfect as I thought it was back then. But like, man, did they do a good job. It's just, it runs beautifully. And I'll still pop it in sometimes and play. Usually I'll play Turbo instead of the original because the speed really helps. I don't have a cartridge of Super Street Fighter 2. Because at the time, I didn't want to get Super Street Fighter 2 because I knew in the arcade there was Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. And I was thinking we would get Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo on the Super Nintendo. But that never happened because Super didn't sell well because they kind of just kept coming out with the same game for most people's perspective, right? It's the same game each time.
Was Turbo only released on Genesis?
No, Turbo was released on both. Oh, you mean Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo?
Yeah.
That was not released on either Genesis or Super Nintendo.
Okay.
That one was released on 3DO at the time.
I never had eventually, a 3DO.
Which made me want a 3DO. I was like, oh, I would like to have that version. I eventually got a DOS version of Super Turbo, but like, it had a lot of issues. So
I bet it did.
And I got a Mega Man X on DOS too. They both came with like a 6-button controller, but like nothing really worked right. It was pretty disappointing.
That sucks, so, man.
But yeah, Street Fighter 2 was just like, that was the game that I spent the most time with. Like I would go through and play and be like, oh, I'm going to set it so that I only have the jab and I'll play with Ryu and use just the jab button to play on the highest difficulty. It was crazy.
That's your honorable mention.
Yeah. But well, really, that's the game that I spent the most. Oh, nice.
That's my number one. Super Street Fighter 2. It had to be, man. It was, honestly, was this or the first Street Fighter 2. It was my first fighting game. This introduced me to the whole thing. So it kind of changed my life. And, I'm still playing Street Fighter to this day. We both are. And the amount of hours put into it, it was like a kind of just a 10 out of 10 game, you know.
Yeah,
it's just up there, man. I don't know what else to say about it, dude. It's fucking Super Street Fighter 2. I forgot there was never a Turbo, man, on Super Nintendo, but
yeah, I was really disappointed in that because it was just like, oh well, I gotta skip this because I can't be either spending money or asking for birthday Christmas. And Super Street Fighter 2 came kind of late. I think it was 93 that it released. It might have been 94,
right?
But yeah, I thought we were gonna get Super Turbo on the Super Nintendo, so I was really holding out for that.
Yeah, no, it's the number one, man. God, I don't know what else to say about it, dude. I just love the game, putting like thousands of hours into it, especially when you have two younger brothers at your disposal. Like,
yeah, it's just, then I wouldn't have had to play it on with a jab only to sort of introduce new challenges.
It's kind
of
sad, man.
But I played it. I played it with a lot of friends. Like I remember, we used to go to this one guy's house. He was cool. He was always friendly. You know, he had a Super Nintendo. He had a pool. He had a basketball court. So like we just hang out there for like the whole day in the summer. And I remember going in and people finished up playing Mario Kart and I was like, oh, thank God I can finally sit down and play Street Fighter. So I remember being like, you do Blanka's cannonball and I'm going to see how many uppercuts it takes to knock you out. Like, that's just kind of, It was like training mode before a training mode, you know, and be like, yeah, let's try all these things out. Let's see what beats what. Like, is your blanca ball going to knock me out of this? Or am I going to knock you down? Like, it was all that I used to play. Like, what's the priority? What beats what? God, I loved it. I even used to play where I would jump over the characters and press pause while they turned to see that in-between frame of animation, just because I wanted to see everything the game had to offer.
It was okay. That's cool, man. Yeah, it's the top, dude. I mean, there's an argument can be made for Street Fighter Alpha also, because that was a hell of a port also for Super Nintendo. But yeah, we'll just keep it at that for now. And what's your number one?
Well, my number one, and this is right, this is the thing, I had to go back and forth, kind of like, is it Street Fighter 2 or is it this? And it's kind of like, well, Street Fighter 2 has never stopped for me. So it's kind of like, how do I don't really associate it with Super Nintendo the same way that I do some other games. So my number one is a really, really very strongly atmospheric game with incredible sound design. It's Super Metroid.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. I thought there'd be some cross-pollination. Yeah.
Yeah, Super Metroid really just really, really blew my mind. And I absolutely loved the sound all the way through. And this is something that I really appreciate about the Metroid series in general, is sort of this isolation. And, you know, like I said, I didn't have any brothers or sisters. I spent a lot of time playing games alone. You know, so it was just this enhanced sort of loneliness, not in a bad way, this isolation of being on a desolate planet somewhere with hostile alien life forms. Just, I never could get enough of it. It's everything about it was really engaging to me. And to tell you the truth, my favorite sort of, it's not a genre, I guess my favorite movie of sort of horror sci-fi is Alien. I love the original Alien. Aliens is very good, but I love how Alien just feels like this incredibly perfectly paced bit. And I feel like Super Metroid took so many cues from the design of Alien to sort of have that feeling of isolation, desolation.
Well, they got somebody named Ripley in it, right? Like,
I don't remember that.
Ripley's the name of the...
Oh, Ridley. Ridley is the enemy, Ridley. Right.
But obviously that's from Ripley.
Yes, yes, yes. So, I was like, what is it? Yeah. So yeah, I don't know, man. It's funny because it came in my freshman year, I think, of high school. And I borrowed it from a friend. And I remember the title screen booting up one day. Like I got it. We had a required sports thing or whatever in high school. And so I got out of the sports, got back, showered quickly before dinner. I was like, I just want to check this out now. And I can remember hearing those opening sound effects and the scan across the room and seeing the Metroid in the vats. And I was just like, oh my God. Wow. I need to play through this now. Like, I don't want to go to dinner. I don't want to go to study hall. Like, I don't want to sleep. I really need to experience this. Like, and that was in broad daylight, you know, it was just, right. And it still just pulled me right into its world. And to this day, I just really, really adore this game and all of its.
It's like the power ups and the exploration. Like that's what Metroidvania is. I get it, but it's like, it's weird. Like in RPGs, you get new equipment and stuff, but there's just something really great about the Metroidvania thing where it's a little bit more immediate. Where you have, like you get missiles. And then a little bit later, you get super missiles and you get bombs and then super bomb. And it just feels like, I don't know, like you can use that stuff more. And it's, it feels like a very big upgrade, very fast.
Yeah.
And like, that's throughout the whole game. And that's what makes it so much, for my money, Metroidvania a lot more fun to play than RPGs a lot of the time.
Well, a nice thing about them, too, is like when you get those weapon upgrades, they're not necessarily just weapon upgrades, right? They're keys to exploration. that missile is not just used to more rapidly defeat an enemy, but to access a new area.
So yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's part of the exploration. Just, yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
It's just like, it's more utility. It feels good. And like, this is the huge jump over the previous two games. You know, like there's all these quality of life things, the map system. Like you said, I get lost too. Even with the maps in Symphony of the Night and Super Metroid, I would get lost and confused and be like, wait, where was I going? What section is this?
I remember being just so frustrated. It's so
helpful compared to the original Metroid and the Metroid 2 on Game Boy.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, yeah. It's cool that's your number one. It really is like... It's one of the best games of all time. If it was like a top 10 across, all systems, all time, ever, you'd have Pac-Man in there. You'd have Super Mario World or Mario 3. You'd have Super Metroid would be in there. Yeah. And Street Fighter 2, some version of that,
It deserves it. And it's funny too, because I've seen, there's all these different versions of it. I have a lot of different ways to play it, right? I could emulate it on the PC. I could emulate it on the Xbox in dev mode. I could play it on the Switch Online membership. And the weird thing is, when I sit down and I play it on the original hardware, there's usually something weird about the title screen. So when the title screen comes up, there are these two computer screens, I think, on either side of the Metroid and the VAT. And they don't behave the same way, it seems, across different emulation. Don't flicker the right way or something. So on the CRT is usually the best, but sometimes I end up, the CRTs are old. I get kind of this, a little bit of color blur, with the black background and stuff. So I don't know, I might switch it to the PVM. I'm not sure, but that's the way we played back then. The images didn't look all that great, but it was so good. And it is, I think that the little CRT magic is definitely helpful. It gives it that sort of that filtered look of a film grain almost. not exactly like a film grain, but I'm saying metaphorically like a film grain that really helps.
I understand.
Elevate it.
Yeah, I want to get a CRT. I don't have one at the moment. I have an ongoing project of setting up my, the shelves with all your systems on it. It's my ongoing background project, which is where eventually a Neo Geo CDZ will reside.
Nice.
So let's run it back. So your number three was what again?
My number three was Super Mario World.
And mine was Killer Instinct.
My number two was Chrono Trigger.
And my number two was Super Metroid.
Right. And I gave honorable mention to Street Fighter 2.
And I gave a bunch to Super Mario World, Mega Man X, Mega Man Soccer, Power Rangers, the movie, the game, Arrow the Acrobat, and Rocko's Modern Life.
And So I finished out with Super Metroid as my number one.
And then I had Super Street Fighter 2. Because it always goes back to Street Fighter, bro.
Yeah,
as we all know.
It really does. It's so funny. Just across generations of hardware, 30 years of me being what's the best way to play Street Fighter? And it's it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter which version it is. It's what's the best way to play Street Fighter 2 right now? What's the best way to play Alpha 3 right now? It's just, I always want to know.
I will probably be getting every new Mario. Well, there's so many of those, but every major release Mario and every Street Fighter until I die, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just how it is.
Absolutely.
Love those games, man. So I guess we're sadly at the end. Let us know what you thought. Let us know what games you think should be on our list. What did we miss in the comments? Let us know what you think would be a good idea for our Patreon. We're still trying to figure that out as well. We hope you're enjoying season 2 of Gaming Guide, and we're having a lot of fun. Mike, you probably are the same as me. We needed an outlet to talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. My wife doesn't care.
Yeah.
She's very supportive, but like, you know, I'm not going to talk her ear off about different versions of Street Fighter 2.
You're not going to ask her about Sushi X or anything like that. I wanted a podcast that sort of reflects, well, definitely reflects like my time with gaming, and then yours was very similar. And like, God, online, like everybody talks about Nintendo Power, and I was not a Nintendo Power kid in the fucking slightest. I was an EGM kid, so I try to bring that up on this podcast as much as possible. One of the gaming podcasts with like, you know, with our flavor on it, and we're doing it, and it's been a lot of fun. So
Even within that, I would say we should have a multiverse thing here and do another Super NES episode, and we can easily have another completely different top three.
We probably could. We could do a whole Super Nintendo podcast. There's that SNES drunk. Maybe we should talk to that guy.
Yeah, I think he started doing Genesis games and stuff too, though. Eventually, he ran out.
And then there's Sega Lord also. I watch him.
Yeah. And he started branching out too. It's like, hey, there's only so much.
I guess you kind of have to. We start a 32X podcast. What a crock of shit, man. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Let us know what you thought, and we'll catch you later.
Thank you so much. Peace.
Please check out the movie that I'm working on, called Metal Force. Please go to www.metalforce.ninja to find out more about this film. It's basically R-rated Power Rangers meets Stranger Things. That's the quick pitch.